Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to How to Lend Money to Strangers with Brendan LaGrange. I've been madly busy recently, and that's without getting past the first chapter of the book I've been promising to write this year. No, my time has been spent recording episodes to close out this season of How to Lend Money to Strangers and recording the episodes to launch the first season of Heightened Senses, a new podcast project I'm co-creating with Christo Funsail. We haven't been talking about it much yet, but if you are interested in the way in which technology is enhancing and expanding the reach of our human senses, think drone-carried cameras paired with AI image recognition or used in medical diagnostics, think chemical sniffers or AI algorithms that can take away the noise from a construction environment without limiting our communication, or like Christo and I heard in a phone call that ended just hours ago, flying a drone over a volcano to capture images we couldn't get any other way. We're not going to be too fussy about it, so pretty much anything innovative that exists within sight of those topics is fair game. There's not much there yet, but it's launching in May, so we are busy creating the social media channels, and if Christo or I reach out to ask you to follow a page or two, please do oblige. That's Heightened Senses, but spelled with an A-I instead of an E-I. So H-A-I-G-H-T-E-N-E-D, Senses. And this show is still going strong. In fact, we've got an episode right here. Martin Kudaba, co-founder and CEO of Taran, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brendan.
Martin, your academic roots are in mathematics, but your professional roots, at least where it comes to banking, are not just in the exciting world of debt and derivative trading, but in debt and derivative trading during the height of the great financial crisis. So let's start with some stories from there. What did your early career look like?
I was studying math and law. And I think like many people of my age, I was influenced by my uncle. He was a banker and he told me go to investment banking or trading. And he said, like, you can, you know, do it for a few years and then you can leave and do anything else. So sounded like a good idea. So I applied for a job in a bank in the investment banking division. It was called Debt Capital Markets. And I joined in November 2008, very shortly after the Lehman collapse, and markets were like completely frozen. Nothing was happening. I was going to the office. There was nothing to do. I was like, what the hell is this? They started to be active again because of the zero interest rates over the world. The clients actually became very active. So I think I learned a lot. I was like still very young. But after a few years, I think the learning curve somehow flatlined. I was, you know, thinking what to do next. And I was like gravitating towards trading. So there was like this new emerging class of algo trading firms. And again, like very, you know, steep learning curve. I learned a lot. I love the daily dynamics of the market, like that every day you are solving some interesting problems or puzzles. Plus, I met my future wife there. And this was like my, you know, my late 20s. I was going to be 30. Plus, like our first son was to be born soon. So maybe there is something more to explore. So I did like a more radical decision and I quit my job, took a sabbatical, moved to Singapore. And I went to study MBA. And we spent 9 months on the Singaporean campus. Plus, 3 months we went to US to work at Wharton. And I would say like for most of my time, you know, during the MBA, I was thinking I will go back to finance. You know, this is what I need to do. But like, I think, you know, in the final months of the MBA, I started to have like some more entrepreneurial thinking. I spoke with my wife. I spoke with a friend of mine who, you know, we have like known from college, and we were thinking maybe, you know, maybe we should start some business of our own.
Yeah, you've got all the deep, deep technical skills in the mathematics side, but clearly not afraid to take some calculated risks in terms of where you, or investments, I suppose, in your time. You're giving up a good career once you'd been through the worst of times to study on the other side of the world. I guess it's that sort of spirit that's bubbling in there that is ultimately what makes an entrepreneur. So talk to me a little bit about that. What ultimately inspired you to take the leap and to found Terran? And why were you focusing on this area of data and decisioning?
I think like part of the pull definitely came from my wife, because, you know, she said if I will follow the paths of the rest of my MBA class, like where everybody was going to consulting or banking, she told me that she will never see me again at home. And we somehow thought that the entrepreneurial path would be more balanced. So like that was one thing. The other thing was that we were like three founders, and I knew that we complement each other, you know, and we are like a strong team. So even like if we didn't have a clear vision of what we're going to do, something will happen. So we were like three mathematicians building predictive model scorecards for banks, for some other companies. It wasn't only about the analytics. It was also about, you know, some engineering, some DevOps. So we were like building some customized solutions. Having said that, even after the MBA, I still joined some other data trading firm. This time it was a US company, like a tier one company in the space. They were expanding the Singaporean team, and the package was, you know, too good to resist, especially after the MBA. The team grew, the business grew, and after like one and a half year, I decided to focus on Terran.
And I want to talk about one of those early successes, because the nature of this show is when I talk about analytics and I talk about data science or I talk about decisioning, invariably, I'm talking to someone who's doing it in lending or in financial services. But one of those early successes was in e-commerce. And I'm quite interested in that because it's not a data set I'm familiar with, but also it feels to me, at least from the outside, like there's even more possibilities. We're not just saying yes or no and alone, but you've got all sorts of products and prices and locations to think about. So talk to me about TarRank and that early work you were doing as the business was getting going.
Mm-hmm. For a company called iPrice, and iPrice is like here in Southeast Asia, it's like the e-commerce aggregator, which means they are aggregating all e-commerce sites. So like, you know, the users can compare the products, and because they are aggregating all the products from all the e-commerce sites, it's like, you know, hundreds of millions of items. And I think nowadays like billions. And then when somebody is, you know, for example, searching watches on the website, like let's say you want to search for Rolex watches, that is like 20,000 hits. From iPrice perspective, you know, the question is how to sort them, right? It's like when you are doing Google search, nobody will go through the hundreds or thousands of pages. Everybody will check like the first one, second one. And it's about putting the most relevant ones on the top. So like the conversion rate is high. One of my friends from MBA, he started to work there. He introduced us to the CTO. He flew to KL, Kuala Lumpur, where they are based. And he had like a very productive chat, did like a lot of brainstorming. And it clicked right away. They gave us some subset of data to build some model. Then they compared it. They have seen like there is a huge potential of like uplift the current approach, and it can increase conversion rates. And you need to crunch all those items within like 1 hour, essentially. You need to have like some very robust batch process to calculate everything, because it needs to fit into other pipelines they have. So then essentially it was about designing and building some like robust big data architecture. And like the initial POC, you know, that took us like, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks to build a model. But then we spent like 6+ months building the actual architecture in their cloud. So
yeah, we can make theoretical models, but if we're not smart about optimizing those for user experience, then they're no good. And thinking back to my old days, a different tech, but the same issue, where I was building rules to pick up fraud on credit card transactions. And there were certain rules that were very good at catching fraud, but in very, very niche cases. And if I wasn't careful about managing them, they slowed the whole system. So the overall benefit might be diluted or even negative if the system runs so slowly that the big rules aren't working quick enough. And as Terran grew, you expanded your offerings. And now I guess the flagship, or at least in terms of this audience, is Terran Decision Manager. So talk to me a little bit about what was the inspiration behind that, the move into building a decisioning system first, I guess. And then we can start deep diving what it's doing differently.
I think it was partly due to a chance that we eventually built Terran DM, because it was, I think, around the beginning of 2020, and we had like two interesting projects. So there was like a lot of potential, and one of them was a decision management platform, like some customized one with scorecards for like a new fintech. And the other one was a platform for like a large German automotive company which was supposed to optimize their supply chain. Mid of February, we were flying to the German company, to the headquarters, and we had like a really good session with the management team. Everything like clicked, like, you know, a lot of ideas how to move it further. We were like super excited about it. But as I said, like it was February 2020. So when COVID was spreading, like within a few weeks, you know, those guys stopped answering our emails. And when we got back to them later, they said, sorry, but our supply chains went haywire because of COVID. We cannot do anything a few months or maybe even a few years. So that got killed. And we ended up with the other second big project, which honestly was, I think, better fit for us because most of the team was coming from the finance. We had like experience with infrastructures doing like real-time decisions, whether it was credit risk, whether it was the high-frequency trading. Plus, a large part of the team came from actual credit risk teams where they have been using the tools such as FICO Blaze or Extreme Power Curve. We know the strong points, the weak points. So we got to the, I would say, drawing board, and we thought maybe there is like a market opportunity here. Let's basically build something.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And we started to develop what's now called TarandM, Tarand Decision Manager. And we built like a first version, first few clients, first few RFPs, and the feedback was good. And in the second half of 2022, we just said, you know, let's make this our flagship product of our company. And essentially, we stopped being like a primarily consulting company, and we became like a software company.
I've seen, you know, you described TarandM as helping companies automate and improve their decisions, bringing both efficiency and flexibility to complex data-driven decision processes. In practical terms, if we break down the TarandM product, how does it do that? What are the key features?
There is like a functional point of view and technical point of view. So from the functional point of view, we wanted to build a tool which will be covering the decisioning process end-to-end. Because from the practitioner point of view, you need to collect some data, which means you need to connect to some systems, you need to have some data integrations or capability to connect very easily to various data sources within the company or outside the company, like credit bureau. You need to, you know, to ingest those data, and then typically you would run some processing, some ETL, something like that, which again, like in typical engines, is like not happening in the engine, it's done before.
Yeah. As an analyst, my biggest problem with those is that I could never explore new data, because if I wanted to try some data that wasn't in the system, I first had to get it prioritized through IT to build an integration. And that wouldn't get done because I had no proof it was of any value. So it really limits any innovation in the data world if every time you want to explore a new concept, a new data source, it requires 6 months of IT's work, you know, it's never going to get done. So a genuine problem to anyone who was doing analytics in the day.
Yeah, so it was actually our own overarching team that we wanted to bring control to the business users, not basically we wanted to decrease the dependence of the business users on the IT. Because like it has implications. Yeah? It's not only about data ingestion, data processing. It's also about like deploying the changes. So ideally, you know, when the business user changes something, he or she should be able to deploy the changes without the help of IT, yeah? Which hasn't been the case like always in the traditional systems. Or for example, the model deployment, like this was like very important part, you know, coming from the analytics background. We added some simulation capabilities that also something we were missing in the traditional engines, because in TarandM, if you are like a risk manager, you change the policy, you change some rule, you can like click one button and you know, like a report will pop up, and the report will show you what would be the impact of my change on the approval rate, on the risk rates, on the scoring, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. For, as you said, for the actual user, these are things that people have been wanting for a long time, just that ability to do their jobs without having to accommodate system restrictions and get moving. A lot of time saving in terms of handing off and taking back projects, as well as making it better overall.
As a risk manager, like, you should be really not dependent much on the IT. You should be able to do like a lot of the stuff yourself. So that's on the functional side. I think we have some advantages on the technical side as well, you know, that, because like historically, again, most engines were like on-premise solutions. You had to install it locally within the bank. Nowadays, what we see on the market is that like most of the vendors, they are actually moving, like flipping it, and they are moving to the software as a service. And that's like the only option.
Yeah.
So what we did is we built a platform which is universal and can run in our cloud, which is like the software as a service. But most clients, most banks and fintechs who are dealing with some sensitive data, they actually prefer our other option, which is when it's running on their side. So we take the platform and we put it into their infrastructure, either their cloud or their on-premise. In software as a service, you are sending data to the vendor, and like, you know, you don't know what they are doing with it, and you... So, you know, there is like some lot of like IT security and regulatory and compliance headaches. Whereas like if we deploy to the client side, we don't have access to anything. So it's like much easier, you know, for the IT and IT security and legal, you know, to sign off on this. A lot of the clients are like mentioning this as a very important factor when doing the decision.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on projects that have been shut down for exactly those reasons. Either the country doesn't allow data to go offshore, or the company doesn't allow data to go offshore. But no matter what you're going to say from that point on, if your system doesn't sit in the right place, it's not good for anybody. So it's awesome to have those two options built into that terrain. And in this decisioning world, AI in some form or another has been there for a long time, but we're starting to see a shift in what AI means and what it's delivering. Your emails are in like info@terran.ai. So talk to me about that. What aspect does AI play in this decisioning system? And are you able to help lenders come to grips with the new possibilities that are out there?
So let's say nowadays, learning models, it's no longer only logistic regression. Now it's like modern methods like XGBoost. And those you can like easily deploy through Terrandium as well. So you can operationalize any type of model you develop for any purposes through Terrandium, like very, very easily. Like just like a direct integration with Python, which is like nowadays the most common language. And when you develop a new model, drag and drop into the Terrandium and it will run it.
Awesome. My next question is more sort of business related and more, I guess, driven by my own curiosity. I used to sell decisioning software myself sort of a decade or more ago, just as this idea of software as a service was becoming a thing. And it felt like there were two or three names that if it was a bank, you knew they were going to buy from one of the three of you. But now with the show, I'm hearing more and more of where lenders are starting to notice and say, well, it doesn't necessarily need to come by one of the names we know. Let's look at the tech and let's implement the tech. What does that look like for you trying to bring these products to market?
That's a good question. So like there are now definitely more providers like us on the provider side. It's not only about FICO and Experian SaaS. There are like multiple companies like us, which have some decisioning technology. But like the very, very big banks, the big clients still have like a strong preference for the large players. And you know, the same, like nobody got fired for buying from IBM. So that still applies here. But also like on the demand side, now it's also landscape is different. Whereas like 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there were like a lot of banks, like traditional banks. Nowadays, there are like a lot of fintechs, a lot of like digital banks. So I think like the, essentially like the market is like a bit stratified in a way that those new players are looking more into the solutions from companies like us. You know, those new solutions fit better into their technology stack. The other thing might be the price point was if you are like a new fintech, new lender, new digital bank, you don't have that much money like around me.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an interesting insight because you're right. Like the lending landscape has changed. So maybe it is just that now the market is just so much fuller of smaller, more nimble, more creative players. Yeah, so Martin, one of the things I feel like for having used those big systems is that they had these incredible capabilities, especially for their time, but even today, but they needed a big team to manage them. So you needed a credit analyst working together with a data infrastructure person, working together with an IT person, And if you were a big bank with 100 people in a decisioning team, that was all right. You were big enough to have these people all in one team. But as soon as you weren't a big giant international bank and your credit decisioning team was only two or three people, you had no ability to pull out those benefits. And it seems to me like the systems like Taran DM are bringing fresh capabilities, you know, cutting edge technology of today, but also just freeing that up that a team of any size can react and respond a lot quicker than before.
Yeah, so I think like this is a great insight that because like essentially if you have unlimited resources, as you said, like well, large bank, large IT, large engineering team, lot of risk people, you are like probably able to do a lot of the stuff in sufficient time frame. But like once you want to, you know, optimize the resources or you are like a smaller organization, using those traditional systems might be a bit more trickier. So, you know, that's like one thing, the amount of resources. I think the other dimension, like related one, is the velocity of the changes. Yeah, because I can imagine that like, you know, 20 years ago, you prepared some approval policy, some scorecard, and you were able to live with it for many years. But like since the world is changing and everything's moved faster, and then you got things like pandemic and all that, then like, of course, you need to iterate, you need to, you know, to experiment more, you need to minimize the time to market when it comes to new changes. So that's why I think like, you know, those new tools like Taran DM or other flexible decision engines, that's why they have like a path into the future.
Yeah, it's a great point, because if you think about modeling and, you know, the need for historic data, or historic models, first we had, as you said, COVID, and they said, well, the history doesn't represent the current period because COVID's changed everything. And then from COVID, we went into a massive increase in interest rates. So now I was saying, well, the past also doesn't represent this new future. And so now if you're sitting there with a model today that was built pre-COVID, would it still be predictive? Yeah, maybe it's still rank ordering in some sort of way, but it's, you know, you really would rather be working with data in a model that was built for what we see today. And if you can't do that, you could find yourself in trouble in the future. And I mean, it's evidence in terms of your client list, working with customers across the world. So multiple industries, multiple marketplaces. Are there any that really showcase how much you're able to do with the Taran DM once it's implemented?
I think like for the audience of your podcast, like the, you know, the biggest name would be Neo Financial, the largest digital bank in Canada. They have been using Taran DM for more than a year now. A really good relationship because they are using it a lot. They are providing a lot of feedback, you know, what they want to see, you know, what we can like improve in the platform. And at the same time, like it allowed them to, I think, be more flexible in their decisioning, because before basically we arrived, before they started to look for engine, they were like, I believe, in a situation which I see like at MediFinTechs, that you start building something, you first you decide to build it internally, including your decisioning system. So you are building, and it ends up like being quite engineering. So like it works for the first use case, for the purpose that you designed it for. But like once you want to scale, you want to add new products, you want to enter new markets, it's like not easily scalable because it has been like hard coded for the specific use case, you know, let's say origination, and it cannot be applied, you know, to collections easily and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I mean it's a good point because yeah, if you're a business that's wanting to be nimble, wanting to be able to pivot as the market needs, it's one thing to buy the latest system today and feel a little bit superior to say, oh, you know, our system is up to date and my competitors is 20 years old. But if that system's not going to grow with you and change with you, yeah, it's just going to be you in the future. So Canada's a market. We know Neo Financial's a name many people will have heard of. But I had a look at your website there, TaranDM.com. You've got a list of some of your customers, some of the use cases, North America, Asia, Australia, Africa, Europe, there's customers using your system around the world. Martin, if somebody wants to speak to you, wants to, you know, see some of those use cases, you're pretty easy to contact at info@taran.ai, but where else online should people go to follow the stories, to maybe have a conversation?
Yeah, I'll just definitely the website, or for example, through LinkedIn. If they want, they can reach out to me directly. I'm like always happy to connect.
I'll put those in the show notes as well so people can click through easily enough. TaranDM.com is a great place to start. I'm scrolling through now. You've got the different industries broken down, a little button to click for a demo, plus the usual stuff where you deep dive the capabilities. But I'll include all those links to the social media type stuff as well. Yeah, thanks again for your time, Martin. I think if we want to really use big data, we want to use new AI techniques, and we want that flexibility to innovate and to make those big changes in our lending businesses, we need a system that can do that. So wonderful to hear that you're making inroads already. A journey I'm going to keep an eye on and see where you go from there. But yeah, thank you again for making the time to come on the show.
Thank you, Brendan. I really appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening. Please do look for and follow the show on your favorite podcast platform and share the updates widely on LinkedIn. Plus, send me a connection request while you're there. This show is written and recorded by myself, Brendan LaGrange, in Brighton, England. Show music is by I Am Wake, and you can find show notes and written transcripts at www.howtolendmoneytostrangers.show. And I'll see you again next Thursday.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.